All of us need encouragement from time to time. I think most of us would admit that we have been blessed, better than we deserve, I would say. But I think we would all likely admit, too, that we've been tested in this life. We've had various trials. Maybe we're going through some tough trials now. We all have our struggles from time to time. You know, our trials come to us in many forms and can include areas of health, finance, family, relationships. At one time or another, various trials and troubles will likely affect most all aspects of our lives, both physically and spiritually. We shouldn't be surprised that we have trials in our lives, and we will have trials in our lives until God knows that we can be fully trusted to live His way of life no matter what. In the book of James, we are not only reminded that trials will come, but we are encouraged to even count it joyful when they do. Let's see that in James chapter 1. Mr. Sanders may be nervous when he was looking for that book he was going to, and he started in Genesis. He was going to have a long climb. James chapter 1 and verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." James makes it clear that trials are necessary for our spiritual development, and we should be thankful that God is molding us and shaping us into His image. The trials we face and the decisions that we make in response to trials test us, and they show God who we really are, how far we've come. An example in the Bible is found in Genesis 22. Abraham had his trials to overcome and was tested to see how he would respond. You can revisit the account of Abraham's willingness to obey God completely and offer Isaac as a sacrifice in the early verses of Genesis chapter 22. In verse 12, he says, "For now I know you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." For now I know, and that was the point. God allows us to go through trials. He wants to know and needs to know if we will commit to Him and His way no matter what. Abraham had to experience trials and be tested for God to know for certain that he could be fully trusted. You and I have individual trials that affect us personally. We also have trials from time to time that affect us as a group altogether. We have trials that affect our individual family, our church family, our workplaces, and the communities in which we live. Some of the trials we face are minor setbacks in our plans. We have made some exposed disappointments in ourselves or disappointments in others, and some trials that we face are hard, they're lasting, and life-changing. We all need encouragement from time to time and the support from those around us. Sometimes it's just a boost we need through a tough week or a push to stay on course and finish a particular goal. How long will you and I have to endure trials? How long will we need encouragement from time to time? And how long will we need to provide encouragement to others? You might jot down in your notes, Matthew, if you're a note taker, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. It tells us, "Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." The short answer is that we will have trials. We will have troubles and struggles in this life, some big, some small, some real, some imagined, until we reach the level of perfection that we're encouraged to have here in Matthew chapter 5. If we are lacking in perfection, we still need to be trusted. And we still need to be trusted. And that comes through testing. Until God can say to us, "Now I know," our journey towards perfection will not be complete. And again, we will need to be tested from time to time. The Bible tells us that the troubles we face will get worse over time, right up until the end of the age. As a result, the need for encouragement will be needed increasingly as we draw closer to the end of the age. We'll look at some of the scriptures that alert us to the end time problems, but I hope we keep in mind what is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 as we do so. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 tells us that no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it or endure it. The Strong's Concordance says the word temptation in this verse can be used to say, for no temptation can be used to say, no solicitation, no discipline, no provocation, and by implication, no adversity. God is faithful. He will not let you be tested beyond your strength. He will provide you a way out so that you may endure. When we see what is happening in the world today, we may likely think about what is given in Matthew 24. The warnings given are clear, but the encouragement that is given for those who endure to the end is equally clear. Let's start at Matthew chapter 24. Now let's review what is given there. We'll start in verse 6. Matthew 24 and verse 6. "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Is this the beginning of the end? Well, of course we don't know. The troubles that we look around and see today, we don't know if this is where we're at in that those prophecies, but my point in bringing it up is that we should have this knowledge, that we should be aware, and we should be testing and looking. There are lots of troubles in the world that we live in, and the need for encouragement is at an all-time high. When I've read these verses in the past, the wars and rumors of wars and the collateral damage always seem to be far away. In my lifetime and your lifetime, we've lived under the blessings and protections that God gave to this nation and that he promised Abraham that he would. That, of course, is subject to change as the nation continues to step away from God, from his laws and his principles of living. The next few verses in this chapter get a little closer to home, or will get a little closer to home. Verse 9 says, Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. There's a lot of hate in the world today. Verse 11 says, Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Again, though, with the warning here is encouragement. Verse 13 says, But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and the end will come. There will be an end to all of the pain and suffering. You and I are encouraged to endure whatever comes our way, and we are encouraged to do our part in helping to preach the gospel around the world. That gospel is a message of something much better. Something that is coming. There is no shortage of problems in the world today, and we are all affected to some degree or another. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us to buckle up and get ready as our society continues to decline. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, and men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. Continuing in verse 12, it says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will go worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I always get a smile on my face when I see this verse where it says worse and worse. I mentioned this before, but one time Angie was out with Tatum, and they were taking the grandparents, the older grandparents, to some doctor's appointments, and Angie turned to Tatum and said, this day's just getting better and better. And she said, this day's getting wusser and wusser. So I always get a chuckle when I see that. You and I are striving to live godly in Jesus Christ. And our desire to do so has not and will not go unnoticed by the adversary. It will only intensify as time goes on, and our need for encouragement and our need to encourage each other needs to intensify as well. We need to stick together and look out for each other as we are individually and collectively a high-profile target to our enemy. We see a lot of these attributes in our society today, and it seems to be getting worse as time goes on all around us. Now, perhaps this is an indication of where we are with regard to the end of the age. I don't know. But it seems to me we're heading in that direction. So much has happened over this past year, and as we come to the start of a new year in a month or so, there's a lot of potential for some serious challenges that the world's inhabitants, and us included, will face. There's every indication that men will continue to be lovers of themselves and lovers of money. We will continue to see attributes of Satan's character on full display. We will see people who are proud, disrespectful, and ungrateful. In the world around us, we see the perilous times that we just read about continue to get worse as Satan realizes that he is running out of time. I appreciate the way these verses in 2 Timothy chapter 3 are written in the New Living Translation. Sometimes it's good to look at another translation, and it brings out the same words in a different way. The New Living Translation in these verses seem more conversational. In the New Living Translation for 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 1, it says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, the love of pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. You and I, and all those that make up the body of Christ, are not going to be allowed to get a complete pass. Now, we certainly have God's protections, and we'll be protected in many things, but we'll have some trials. And we're going to continue to have trials that affect us directly. Some trials will test us in ways we didn't see coming. Some trials may push us further than we thought possible. So what are we to do? How do we handle setbacks? Disappointments, tests, and trials, the big ones and the small ones alike. How do we handle current trials and get prepared for what is to come? Well, part of the answer to those questions is found here in 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, verses 14, beginning in 14, and I'm still going to quote this from the New Living Translation, says, "But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught in the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus." Verse 16 and 17, a couple of familiar verses to all of us. It says that all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Verse 17 says, God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. These verses encourage us to put our trust in Jesus Christ, to stay true to the things that we have been taught, to keep learning and putting God's word into practice. These verses also encourage us to be strong and to be courageous, to never give up, to never give in. Be strong and courageous. That's actually the title that I put in my message today, put in my notes today, because that's what I really want to focus on. Again, today we have trials, and but we also have what is needed to overcome them, whether they are big and small or small. I want this message to be an encouragement to continue striving ahead and to remain strong and courageous. The Bible, of course, is the best resource we have to gain the reassurance and positive reinforcement that we need to remain strong and focused on the kingdom of God. And that's the key. Focus on the kingdom of God, not so much on the things that we're dealing with in today's world, both good and bad. From God's word, we find strength and encouragement for ourselves, and we find examples for us to follow, to do our part, again, to encourage others. Be strong and of good courage. This phrase is found 11 times in the New King James Version of the Bible, and there are other variations of this phrase throughout. There are many places in the Bible to find similar words of encouragement, but this phrase really stands out to me. It's a bold and positive statement. It's one of those encouragements that really, to me, reads more like a command. It says, you, be bold, be strong, be courageous, stand up, fight this thing. In the first chapter of Joshua, this phrase is mentioned several times. As God is providing instructions to Joshua after the death of Moses, he tells him to be strong and of good courage in verses 6, 7, 9, and 18. Let's take a look at those. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This phrase is worded slightly different here in verse 7, but I like the change up. The encouragement given tells Joshua, look, be strong and be very courageous. Be bold and follow the law just as it was received, and you will prosper regardless of what trials, what stumbling blocks, what troubles may come your way. Verse 8 says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Joshua is encouraged, even commanded here, to put God and his laws into practice, to observe them accordingly, and then prosperity and success, good success even, will follow. The "and then" that is inserted here shows a priority that must be followed for the desired results to come. I won't turn there, but we're all familiar, of course, with Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. That comes to mind as an encouragement, even a command for all of us. Quoting from the New King James, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And we could say, "And then all these things shall be added to you." Again, there's another example of words in the Bible encouraging us to have the right priorities and boldly seek them diligently, knowing that we will be rewarded for doing so. Continuing here in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Joshua was being prepared for the responsibility to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. This position of authority came with big shoes to fill. And Joshua knew that the responsibilities that he had been given were not going to be easy. God encouraged Joshua to be strong and of good courage, and to know that he would be with him just like he was with Moses. It is interesting that God repeats this phrase multiple times to ensure that Joshua receives the encouragement that he needs to handle the responsibilities that he's being given. When God was giving these encouraging words to Joshua, he was reinforcing time and time again to stay strong and to remember that he was with him and that he would see him through. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 10 through 15, we see that Joshua, now the leader of the people, gave instructions and encouragement to the officers, to his officers, and the message was received. Joshua 1 and verse 16 says, "So they answered Joshua, saying, 'All that you have commanded, we will do, and whatever you send us, we will do. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses.'" Verse 18 says, "Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words, and all that you command him, shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage." There's a lot of encouragement for us in these words as well. We have a job to do. We have a calling to respond to. And along with it, we have a life to live. We too are being encouraged to step up to the plate and follow all that God has instructed us to do, and do it with purpose and conviction. These words were recorded for our spiritual development and to encourage us to stay bold and positive, strong and of good courage, knowing that we will be prosperous and we will have good success if we do so. Joshua uses these same words again in Joshua 10, verse 25, to encourage others to also move forward and to continue to fulfill their responsibilities. Under the leadership of Joshua, with the favor and will of God, Israel had defeated the enemy kings and their armies. Joshua encouraged them to remember the source of their success and to stay strong for the challenges ahead. Joshua 10, verse 25. "Then Joshua said to them, 'Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight.'" Again, more lessons for us to learn. We need to use these words and words like them to encourage others that are dealing with various trials, troubles, and challenges today. We also see that we can and should encourage others after they have successfully overcome a battle or a trial. Of course, we always give God the credit because the credit goes to Him. He's the one that makes these things happen. But it's good for us to use encouraging words after the trial. "Hey, good job. Way to make it through that. You did well." Here's a good example of using encouragement again after a trial to buckle up and get ready for the next one. Joshua was encouraged by these words and used these words to provide encouragement to others. Joshua had heard these encouraging words before. Moses gave these words of encouragement to all of Israel just prior to his death, and specifically to Joshua, who was to take on the leadership role over Israel. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31, we'll begin at verse 1. Deuteronomy 31, verse 1. Then Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel. Skip down to verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6 is a memory verse and a favorite verse to many people. It is a source of much comfort and a reminder in times of trouble that we are not alone. I'd like for us to spend the balance of my time today to unpack what is given here in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6. I hope that by reviewing the points that are found in this passage, we will gain encouragement for ourselves, and I hope we can use what is given to provide strength and encouragement to others. As noted, the Bible is full of words that provide strength and encouragement to us, and words that can be used by us, again, to provide encouragement to others. It's part of our responsibility. This afternoon, we're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, which is a particular favorite verse of mine. You know, when I thought about Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6, if I was to quote it, I would quote, he will not leave you or forsake you. That's the part that sticks out in my mind and has stuck out in my mind as a favorite verse. There are, however, other important points given in this encouraging verse that are very specific, and I don't think we should overlook them. The first point given in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6 is that we are to be strong and of good courage. We have discussed today how this phrase has been used by God and his servants to encourage and inspire others to boldly face the challenges that they were given. But what does it mean to be strong and of good courage? And how can we become strong and of good courage? The word strong in the Hebrew can mean to be mighty, bold, powerful, unyielding. The word courage can mean brave, consistent, and determined. God expects us to be bold and unyielding as we continuously move forward towards his kingdom. He expects us to enthusiastically embrace his way of life. He expects us to be brave, consistent, and determined, even as we face trials and troubles along the way. Be strong and courageous in the challenges that we face can only be accomplished with the active presence of God in our lives. God's armor gives us the strength and encouragement it takes that will help us to be mighty, bold, and powerful. In Ephesians 6, we are encouraged to put on this armor that is needed in a Christian life. Let's turn to Ephesians 6. We'll begin reading in verse 10. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. This is how we stand our ground as the evil days come upon us. This is how we can be strong and of good courage and have confidence during trials and troubles that we face. We can withstand anything if we are properly trained and have the tools we need to get through it. In verses 14 through 17, we are given a list of the armor that we should be putting on. Ephesians 6 and verse 14 says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." I love the way verse 14 starts off. "Stand therefore." In the New Living Translation, it says, "Stand your ground." Stand your ground. Put on the armor of God and stand your ground. That's another encouragement to be strong and of good courage. In verses 19 and 20, we see a great example of someone that is strong, that was strong and courageous, boldly able to take on the challenges being faced because he is fully equipped with the whole armor of God and the prayers of the saints. Continuing there in verse 19, it says, "And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Like the Apostle Paul, we need to stay strong and be of good courage, and do so not just for ourselves. You know, Paul sent this letter of encouragement to the church family, and God ensured that these words were preserved for our encouragement today. We need to be strong and of good courage for those around us, including our family at home, our church family, and any other person or group that we might consider to be our people. We should be an example of strength and encouragement to anyone that we can have influence on in a positive way. 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 12. 2 Samuel 10 and verse 12 says this, "Be of good courage, and let us be strong for our people and for the cities of our God, and may the Lord do what is good in his sight." We need to encourage each other and be willing to serve each other. Equipping ourselves with the armor of God enables us to be strong and courageous and helps us motivate others and reinforces God's way of life by setting a powerful example. The second point given here in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6 is that we are not to fear or be afraid. We are not to fear or be afraid. How can we avoid being fearful or afraid? Well, fear is something that is promoted a lot in our society today. The media tends to stoke fear in the hearts and minds of viewers. And to be fair, there is a lot of concern out there these days. There's a lot of bad things going on. There are several good articles on our Life, Hope, and Truth website that discuss what fear is and how to handle it in today's world. I'd like to quote a few comments from an article written by Mike Bennett entitled "Fear Not: How to Stop Feeding Fear and Overcome It." It's a good article, I think, and it explains it better than I could, so I'm going to quote it here. I encourage you to go read the full article sometime. "Fear grabs our attention. It gets us ready to fight or flee. Whenever we mask our fear with macho bravado or slink away to seek refuge, it can have a powerful effect on our thinking, decisions, and actions. A healthy fear can keep us from harm. But too often, fear comes from doing what we want or need to do. Sometimes it provokes us into wrong or dangerous responses. Basically speaking, fear can contribute to obeying or disobeying God's law. Why does fear seem so pervasive in society today? And what can we do to control it? Again, I'm still reading from the article. Increasing troubles in the world and our neighborhoods can make us feel like we are living in a fear zone. Politicians and hucksters. A huckster, by the way, is one who sells or advertises something in an aggressive, dishonest, or annoying way. I had to look that up. I didn't know what it meant. But a huckster is politicians and hucksters of every stripe play on our fears for their own benefit. But that doesn't mean the underlying dangers are not real. Terrorism, mass shootings, spreading warfare, violent crime, disease epidemics, natural disasters, deadly animals, all of these are in the news and too often in our entertainment and our nightmares, end quote. The article acknowledges that a proper fear towards God and His ways are helpful and needed, and he goes on to outline how the Bible shows us to deal with our fears, both the good and the bad. If we are striving to be obedient to God and living as He intends, we have nothing to fear or to be afraid of. We will have the confidence that God is on our side. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 22. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 12. Only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding and give you charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will prosper if you will take care to fulfill the statutes and judgments with which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Now you notice there was an if in there. It's provided there for some clarity. If we take care to fulfill the statutes and judgments, we will have nothing to fear. In Psalm 118 and verse 6, it says this, Psalm 118 verse 6, again, another very familiar scripture to all of us, I'm sure. It says, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Having a proper relationship with God and Jesus Christ gives us the ability to combat fear. Our relationship with God and the understanding that He and our elder brother Jesus Christ have got our backs should give us the strength we need to move forward and avoid being afraid. Our great God expects us to know that we are His children. He expects us to be obedient and constantly striving, of course. We discussed earlier that the Bible is full of encouraging words that support us and we, as we strive to be strong and of good courage. In Mr. Bennett's article, he provides some of the verses that speak to this point. Do not fear or be afraid. He says the Bible instructs God's people many times to fear not. God does not want us to be debilitated by fear. He said, for those who have a proper awe and respect for God and who strive to obey His commandments, God makes some wonderful promises. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror it shall not come near you. That's found in Isaiah chapter 54, verses 13 and 14. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? That's found in Jeremiah chapter 32, and verse 27. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. Are you not of more value than many sparrows? It's found in Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 and 31 through 31. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's found in Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. Peace I leave with you, peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's found in John chapter 14 and verse 27. One more here. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And that's Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. As obedient children doing our best to live God's way, he wants us to know that we have nothing to fear or to be afraid of as long as we have him by our side. The third point given in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6 is that God goes with you. This point goes hand in hand with the previous point, to not fear or be afraid. But God goes with you. One of the fears that people have in the world today is that they feel that they are alone in their struggles. Many feel that no one understands, no one cares, and no one is in their corner as their problems increase. But you know, not so for you and me. Isaiah 41 tells us that we are not alone. We have someone in our corner. Let's turn to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, and we are going to read verse 10. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What a comfort it is to know that we have access to the great God of the universe and the understanding that he hears us and that he is watching over us. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, it says this. I'm going to grab one verse here. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Doing our very best to live God's way and seeking God in our lives daily gives us the faith and confidence we need to face any type of trouble that comes our way, knowing that God is with us. We're not alone. This passage in Romans 8 reminds us that with God in our corner, there is no contest. God wins every time. Who could possibly match up against the great and all-powerful God? The answer is no one. Isn't it encouraging to know that God goes with us? The fourth point given in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6 is that God will not leave us or forsake us. Again, this statement alone is very powerful and very encouraging. How incredible of a statement it is. God promises not to leave us or forsake us. If we remain obedient to him and fulfill our responsibilities to the best of our ability, we cannot fail. God simply won't allow it. I don't read in here, by the way, that we have to be perfect for God to watch over us. We're supposed to be striving for perfection and hopefully getting closer and closer. But if we have fears from time to time that we're not good enough or we're not, you know, further along than we need to be, sometimes I think we can get it in our mind that, oh, God's not listening. God's not with me. You know, he's left me. He's forsaken me. I don't believe that's true at all. God looks at our heart. He knows we're striving and he's got our backs. He's right there with us. In 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 20, it says this. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 20. And David said to his son Solomon, "Be strong and of good courage, and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." I think simply put, God promises to finish what he started. You know, our calling was not a random act. We didn't stumble upon the truth on our own. God called us. He opened up our minds. He gave us his spirit, and we're here in his church for a purpose, for his plan. God did that. God started that, and God will finish that. He'll be faithful to do so. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, we are told, again, that's Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, "He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Notice that until, notice it says until the day of Jesus Christ. Part of God's plan for us is that he is committed to complete his work in us right up until the return of Jesus Christ. There's a clear indication in these verses that we will have to endure trials, continue to strive, and overcome, patiently waiting for Christ's return. The spiritual character that God is developing in us through the lessons we learn in life is a process, and it takes time. Hopefully, we are developing patience and contentment along the way. In Psalm 27 and verse 14, it says this, Psalms 27 and verse 14, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Kind of a companion verse to that is Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you." There's an article written by Eddie Foster on the church's website from several years ago. It's entitled, "God is There for You." Another good recommendation for an article if you choose to go out there and read it. But I thought Mr. Foster sums up nicely the point we are discussing. He says, whenever we have questions, fears, trials, temptations, sufferings, and problems to solve, God is always there for us. Our loving Father in heaven wants us to go to him with our struggles and concerns. End quote. He will not leave us nor forsake us. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines forsake as to give up or to leave. God will never give up on us, nor will he ever leave us. All of us need encouragement from time to time. The Bible is full of words that provide us with encouragement. We have read or quoted a sample of the many encouraging words that were inspired to be written to help us be strong and of good courage. In our review of Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6, we have discussed four specific and encouraging points that are given to us. We are encouraged to be strong and of good courage. We are not to fear or be afraid. We must know that God goes with us and that he will never leave us nor forsake us. I hope that by reviewing these scriptures today and specific points we looked at in Deuteronomy chapter 31, that we can take comfort in what God is telling us, and that we can use these words to gain strength and encouragement. The trials we face today will be overcome with God's help, and the support we can give each other is very much needed. No matter what comes our way, let's encourage each other to be strong and of good courage.